This is an Artist Journey podcast, the podcast for people thriving and creating as artists. I'm your host, Malcolm Dewey, and let's begin. And welcome to another episode of an Artist Journey podcast. This is podcast number 30. So a little milestone there. I'm going to discuss a few things about the artist process and making sure that you're doing the work. All right, so I'm going to have a look at some of the things that have been holding me back. Things that I'm getting a lot of feedback from people about artists trying to get some painting done, but not managing or not getting, you know what I'm going to say. People don't have enough time. The one thing that's in short supply, the time issue is always being put out there. It's probably the number one thing. Well, no doubt it is the number one thing. The number one excuse for people not doing their art. And I mean all creative pursuits, it always comes down to time. This regular plea I'm getting from artists, it's even worse, is the large number of frustrated artists who can't find time to even begin painting. So as I mentioned, quite a few are writing to me and thanking me for putting stuff out there, the newsletters, videos, and all the other bits and pieces that they can find on my website. Unfortunately, the line I often get is, I would love to paint, but I just don't have the time. Sometimes they throw in reasons like they get back from work and too busy or too tired, things like that. Okay, I'm not going to start getting like an old teacher now. Or the truth is, I understand exactly what's going on. I've used the time cliche many times myself. We're all human. We know that we should be doing some things, or we'd really like to be doing other things, and we find a reason not to do it. The thing with creative pursuits, you know, doing your art, number one, it's somewhat a question of self-belief and also some fear. Believing that if you do something creative, that you're actually entitled to do that, that you have the ability to do it, that it is valuable what you're doing. All of that, we tend to look at the negative. So immediately doing chores, something that you can actually put off till later, suddenly becomes more important. Also, as I mentioned, the issue of fear. Well, you know, if you're going to do chores, you can always get some kudos for that, or at least you can tell somebody in your home that you've done the cleaning up and now you're not going to feel bad about it or anything like that. Rather pass the guilt on to someone else and complain about all the time you're wasting keeping the place clean. I mean, how many times have you said that or heard that? Hundreds of times. You know, it all sounds pretty dire, and it's so boring, isn't it? Planning about time, doing work you don't want to do, moaning about it. It's just so banal, and it's just part of our daily life. So we need to do something. We need to snap out of the cycle of blaming time, blaming other people, and complaining about useless chores that don't have to be done right now. Let's have a look at number one, start removing distractions. A good example, and I'll go straight to a big topic that was certainly a big topic for in our home at some stage. The biggest distraction was the television cable service. Now, I don't know what the cable service is in your part of the world, but down here in South Africa, there's really only one big cable company who have a complete monopoly on everything. Movies, documentaries, and especially sport. Oh yes, the big sporting games were only televised on the cable network. So in this way, they've got a stranglehold on TV viewership. Problem is, the cable subscription at the time anyway was absolutely outrageously expensive. Actually, it still is, but they're trying to do things about it. But if you want to watch the big sporting games, the rugby test matches, the big cricket matches, and so on, big international stuff, you got to subscribe to this channel. In 2015, our family got together and we pretty much said, we're sick and tired of paying this amount of money for a lot of rubbish that we end up spending much too much time watching. Now, this was costing us probably an hour every evening. Who can afford that? You've been at work all day and then you're going to spend an hour watching. And it's normally not just an hour. It goes on probably 2 hours. During the day, the kids come back from school and they're watching cartoons. Cartoons that aren't even appropriate for any age. But the kids are watching these things. I immediately start yelling at them and saying, when I was your age, I was outdoors playing in the sun. But of course, if I had cartoons back in when I was a kid, I'd probably be watching them anyway. So all of these reasons, and we just got fed up with it. We pulled the plug. I didn't realize at the time, but there was a big international movement to start cutting the cable as well. And of course, with internet bandwidth growing and the ability to watch so many things on the internet anyway, more and more people were turning away from traditional cable. So this immediately freed up a lot of time for us and a lot of money too. Money that I could spend on, or we could all spend on, perhaps more entertaining or productive things, or just saving it. So how about that? How's that for a novel idea? Let's save some money. Anyway, the thing is that with freeing up that hour or two in the evening, would you immediately invest that in creative time? Or would you find something else simply to absorb it? Read books, maybe? Do you have to read books for that long every night? You know, questions like that. This is, of course, only relevant to those people who say they want to paint but use time as an excuse. Number one, how much time are you spending watching TV? Can you cut that out? Can you reduce it by an hour? You will immediately have enough time with those 5 to 6 to 7 hours a week saved to complete maybe 2 paintings. All right, and there you have it. End of the month, you could potentially have 8 paintings. Take that over a year, 80 or more. You know, give and take here and there, you're going to not be as consistent as that, but you could, at the end of the year, have enough paintings to put on an exhibition. When you look at it like that, you realize what's an hour or two saved and what would happen if you put that to better use. You could spend some time reading books about time management. Have you been doing that? I mean, there are tons of books available on the subject. I know I've even tried to read a few, but didn't finish. Probably didn't have the time, you know. The thing is, we all know what is eating away at our time. We tend to find reasons not to change that, because change, even small change, can be scary and lead to other consequences, like having to do your paintings and have people see your paintings. So that's quite a significant consequence of finding more time. So you're ready to try that out? So what if you have to lose? That's the question. Another little thing that crops up a lot is artists tell me they are ready to start. So the first thing they do is head off to the art store and supply themselves with art materials and equipment. In most cases, a lot of money is spent, and it's not particularly cheap stuff. Many people want to get the best they can afford, and this suddenly adds up to quite a bit of money spent. The problem with that approach is when you've spent that amount of money, there's now a lot of pressure coming with that stuff. You've spent the money, you've got to try and justify it. I mean, unless, of course, it's of no consequence to you at all. But everyone I come across feels a little bit of guilt about that. And then they throw in a few more things like, you know, their art's just not good enough. And now they've spent thousands on art equipment and they didn't have the time anyway. So it all seems like a terrible situation and so much guilt, so much pressure. And it's all really for nothing because all of that guilt and pressure is just self-inflicted. It's an elaborate form of procrastination, finding every excuse possible to avoid the simple act of sitting down with a paintbrush and some paint and putting some marks on a canvas. It's as simple as that. That's all you need to do. I guess to cut a long story short, when you feel that you want to resort to the excuse of not having enough time, be aware of what you are saying. Look at it as an outsider. Look at it as somebody standing and watching yourself. And really ask yourself, is that a valid excuse? If you don't have the time to do something that's really important, like your own creative pursuits, what is it that's keeping you from finding the time? Look at your entire day and try and free up an hour. And if you can do that, you can do something creative in that hour. And that hour is going to lead to 2 hours. Pretty soon, it'll be easy to find that time. But don't use time as an excuse. Rather find out why you're using that excuse and what is getting between you and doing your art. So I'm going to have a look at a few ideas behind making the most of your limited time. Multitasking. Forget about multitasking. That idea is just so last decade. It's just a complete lie. Multitasking doesn't work. Just focus on one thing. Get one thing done and set aside the appropriate time to do that. 20 minutes will cover most administrative or boring jobs that you set up for yourself. If you don't believe me, set a timer and start the job. Whether it's washing the dishes, cleaning a floor, sweeping a carpet, vacuuming, whatever mundane and horrible chore is coming between you and doing your art, set a specific time for it. Stay away from the email, social media, etc. The amount of time wasted on scrolling through timelines. That's actually a very good word for a timeline. Time-wasting lines, that's what it should be called. Stop flipping through the time-wasting lines. It's a new mantra. Okay, next thought. As I said, plan your time and stick to it. Set specific time, set the timer, your watch, and do the silly job and get it over with. I sometimes use the excuse of, okay, so you're too busy to paint? Did you know that Winston Churchill painted during World War II? He was a great artist, actually, but loved painting. And he found time to do his painting. Even while running England, Great Britain, defending Great Britain during World War II, tremendous pressure on his shoulders. But he took the time. Of course, he had people working for him, but we're talking about World War II people, so really, he could have used any excuse he could have to avoid doing a bit of painting. But he knew it was important. It helped him relax, it helped him in his work day. So if he could find the time to paint, then why can't we? Be aware of things that are stealing your time, like Eddie said to you, television and useless chores. You don't have to do them right now. Think about the things you're telling yourself. What's your mind telling you? What is your mind saying to you to keep you from doing your art? Filling you with negative thoughts, questioning your ability, questioning what other people are going to think of you, right? All that self-talk. Your mind is just running on autopilot, looping the same negative stuff. Pay attention to what your mind is telling you. It is a separate being. It's not your soul talking to you. This is a recording. What is your mind telling you? If it's telling you ways to get out of doing your art, then don't listen to it. Distract it by doing your art. Confuse your mind until it follows the new you. Look at your studio or space where you want to work. If you say you can't paint because you don't have a studio, that's not true. Okay, I know this from my own experience, thankfully my wife said to me, just put your easel up in the bedroom corner. I said, listen, it's going to make a mess. It's going to make a mess in your room. You're not going to be happy. She said she didn't care. Just paint. So I set it up in the bedroom, a meter away from where I was sleeping. I'd wake up in the morning and look at the easel. So it was right there in my face. I had no option. I knew it was there and I could just paint. Eventually, I ended up in the converted garage. And now I have, fortunately, a room set aside exclusively as a studio. But you have to start. You have to start somewhere. It took many years for me to get a separate studio. But you won't get that until you start with what you have. All you need is 2 square meters. That's all. So get some support. All right, that's also a tip I use. Speak up. Tell your family. Tell your friends. Listen, you are starting your art. You are starting paint. And people must give you a bit of space, give you a bit of slack. If somebody is laughing at you and trying to bring you down, cut them loose. Don't need that. All right, got to get tough. This is important for you. You can also give back time to those that have been kind to you and are respecting your creative time. Share quality time with them. Do your work, then spend quality time with the people that you love, your family, people that count and are important to you. Other distractions, phones, cell phones, internet, TV, we've been through that. Gadgets, all sorts of gadgets. The amount of time and money spent on gadgets is bizarre. Go back to old school stuff. Do your painting. Brushes, canvas, paint. The same things that's been used for centuries. There's something romantic and amazing about that. Use up all the time you can find. It might be in batches, a half an hour here, half an hour there. But if you can have your painting ready for you, you can take advantage. A half hour of concentrated work at the easel can generate fantastic things. Give yourself a reward. As I said, you can also reward those who give you time and let you get on with things. Give yourself a reward as well. Look, creating and painting and doing your art is a reward in itself, and it's going to give you so much more in return, from self-esteem to relaxation, better health, better awareness. Not to mention the benefit of having some nice art to put on your wall, give as a present, or even go professional. Even if it is a sideline, it can do wonderful things for you and open up so many new opportunities, so many doors of meeting new people. When you're not painting, and you've got a few minutes here and there, look for ways to inspire yourself. Discover art books. You can find them online. You can find them at the bookshop or at the library. Get painting DVDs. I love painting DVDs. I might not even want to paint in that style, but it inspires me to watch somebody doing what they love. So look up other artists, follow other artists, see what they're doing. Be inspired by other people's work and learn from them. I mean, we've got thousands, hundreds of thousands, and centuries of art to look back on. Use it, it's there. And most of it, it's all for free. And never worry about being good enough. Don't let that sabotage you. Don't use lack of time to try and prevent putting yourself out there, being worried what others are going to think of you. It's totally irrelevant. Absolutely irrelevant. One of my favorite artists, Kevin MacPherson, said in one of his books, "So what if you make a mistake or make a mess or ruin a painting? We don't have the art police on our backs. It's not a crime. Nobody cares that much. It's just you. Relax. Start another paint. And don't worry about wasting money. Listen, if you make a mess up with your painting, it's not a waste. You're actually learning through experience. You know, that's the best way to learn. You can always scrape the paint off or wait for it to dry and then go over it with some oil primer or just paint over it. I mean, let's face it, a dry painting on a canvas is simply an extremely well-primed bit of canvas. Use it to practice your next painting on. It's not a waste. And then making a start, it's all about creating a new habit. I read somewhere it takes, 21 days to create a new habit? I'm not so sure if that's enough, but let's say you work at it for a month. By the end of that month, you're going to know how you feel about your art. Either it's grabbed you or you hate it, but you'll find out. So persist for at least a month and reassess. And as I mentioned, looking at art books, DVDs, things like that, keep learning and practicing. Take courses, go to a workshop, and practice what you've been taught. It's not just entertainment. It's there for you to put into practice. And you're walking in the footsteps of many great artists that came before you. All those fantastic artists of the past, they've laid the groundwork for us, and we're extremely lucky. Yeah. Respect what came before and put your learning into practice. And don't give up. Never quit. Quitting is not an option. And the reason quitting is not an option is because painting is important. Painting is a worthwhile thing to do. Some benefits, as I've already said, great for relieving stress, opens new opportunities in your life, boosts your self-esteem. You focus on beauty instead of the misery on newspapers and TV news. Cut that stuff out of your life. It's a blood-sucking, soul-destroying activity following the daily news. Rather, focus on the beauty that's around us and paint it. The smallest things, a leaf, a flower, the biggest things, a giant landscape, whatever you have the fortune of looking at, there is beauty there if you open your eyes and take it in. And ultimately, your creative spirit, and we all have one, we all have a creative spirit, needs to be fed. Needs to be fed and nurtured. And when it is, it grows very quickly and transforms.